the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and thegamenashville.com. Chase McCabe here with you each and every week. Every Friday afternoon, we drop this thing as a part of our pod center. You can find it on iTunes. Search for Chasing Checkers. Subscribe. Rate it. You get a new episode every week. It's also on SoundCloud and, of course, on thegamenashville.com. What a finish we had at Chicagoland. I am so excited. I've been waiting all week to do this show. Because of after that finish, being able to watch it and see two competitors in Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson beat and bang and make it to victory lane for Kyle Busch, that is, but to make it to the start finish line, and it was fun. NASCAR needed that. NASCAR needed a finish like that, and it reminds me of old school racing. If you missed it, and of course there is a lot to dissect from this final call that we will get into, Dale Jr. making his television debut in the booth. But I want to play the final lap from NBC and just set this up because it was such a great finish.
Coming up on one lap to go. And there's the gap between one and two. Kyle Busch. And here comes Larson. Larson to the bottom of the track.
Slide job.
Trying to take the lead away.
Slide job. Almost.
The momentum. The
contact.
18. They make contact. The 18 into the wall. They're side by side again. Going into three for the lead. Larson has the advantage. Here comes the 18. He puts the bumper to the back of him. The 18 into the wall. The 42 sideways.
Where's Harvick?
Here comes the 18. Kyle Busch will win.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my man. What a race. What a great race.
That's what it means to win in the Monster Energy Cup Series.
Never give up, guys. Never give up.
Look at the thumbs up, though. Look at the thumbs up. Respect. Yes. That's good race.
So, of course, the booth there for NBC, Dale Earnhardt Jr. already has his catchphrase, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Slide job. But that right there is exactly what NASCAR needed. That's what NBC needed for their first race of the season. They needed that type of excitement, and that's racing. Those are two guys, Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson. You know, we know that Kyle Busch is not a fan favorite. We know he has his set fans, but we know there are a lot of people that they have a hard time and they have a problem with how he does it. I went on WSMV television last Sunday night after this thing. And I said, look, love him or hate him, I have no problem with how Kyle Busch handled that race, handled that ending. Because that's how Larson raced him, so you give it to him, and he gave it right back. I have no problem with how he handled it. Now, where I have a problem with Kyle Busch is when it's done to him, and he loses, and then he whines about it. That's when I end up having a problem with Kyle Busch, because he's a sore loser. He does not like to lose. So that's when there's a little bit of disconnect, and that's when people tend to give him a hard time. But last week, you know, he was the leader. Larson had the run on him. Larson got into him, and that's just how it went down. So this was Kyle Busch in the press conference following the race and how it all went down.
I thought he was going to pull a slide job, and when he didn't try to do a slider, then I wasn't sure what his next move was going to be. I was like, surely he's not going to drive in the side of me, and then he did. And so after that point, I was kind of like, okay, well, all games are off right now. All bets are off, and it's wide open here from here on out to back to the checker flag. So, you know, he got a run on me off of turn two after I got in the fence. It just stalled, killed my momentum. And then his side draft was able to propel him by me. I tried to retaliate with a side draft, but I wasn't really close enough and wasn't really getting anywhere with it. So he got by me, and getting into turn three, it was just about following him in there and seeing if I couldn't cut left under him, if he would slide up. He didn't slide up, so I drove off in there as far as I could, and I got into the back of him. And once I did that and he was kind of sliding loose, I just was trying to get back to the start-finish line after that. So it was just you know, a product of kind of once it's done to you, then it's fair game and it's on, I guess. So, you know, that's kind of what transpired.
And I think that every driver in that field understands that that's how it is. That's exactly what Kyle Larson said. Like, hey, you know, I gave it to him. I expected it back. And I don't think anybody should have a problem with that. It creates excitement for the fans at the track. It creates excitement for the broadcasters. It creates excitement for the fans back at home watching that race. And Kyle Busch said it multiple times in his press conference. I go through and listen to these and pull audio and kind of get an idea of what the driver's thinking. He said it, you know, if he raced me clean, I'll race him clean. If he wants to do it like that, I'll do it like that. But they have a respect for one another. They like racing hard against each other. Here's Kyle Larson after the race as well.
No, I mean, I wasn't really trying to make it in front of him. You know, I figured if I ran in there to try and clear him, I would have had to slow down so much to not hit the wall that he would have just turned underneath me and it wouldn't even have been a battle to the wind. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't initially go in there planning to run into the side of him, but when I ran in there and figured I wasn't going to have enough momentum to clear him and get going, yeah, I kind of made the plan to try and squeeze into him to bog him down, and it worked. You know, he was able to get back to my back bumper into three.
So they knew what to expect out of one another. They got it, and the fans got a great show. In fact, Kyle Larson used my favorite phrase.
Yeah, I mean, I hit him first, so I roughed him up, he roughed me up. That's racing.
That is old school racing. You don't have any of this just, oh, well, I'm not going to hit him because it's not the right thing to do, and we're just going to race side by side and be boring and have cookie-cutter finishes on cookie-cutter tracks. No. They went old school. Larson had a run. He got into him. Busch then had a run, got on his bumper, gave him the old chrome horn, and got him out of the way. We had Darrell Waltrip on a few weeks ago. I gave him that hypothetical of if it's you, Earnhardt, Cale Yarborough, bunch of other old school guys, Tony Stewart, Johnson, you're coming to the line at Daytona, what's going to happen? And the first thing he said was, it's going to be a heck of a wreck. Because anytime Earnhardt or Stewart is involved, they're not going to race clean. They're going to go in there and try and go for the win. That is racing. And I was so glad to see it. I was so glad to see Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, go toe-to-toe like that and have that type of finish for the fans. And Kyle Busch also commented on Kyle Larson coming to victory lane after it was all said and done.
No, I thought it was fine. You know, I thought Larson did the right thing. He came over and wanted to say something about it, and he just said, look, I actually said first, I was like, man, I thought you were going to slide me. I was all ready for that. And he was like, no, I didn't have enough of a room. And by the time you got back to my outside, I had no other choice. I had to stall you out. So I hit you. And I was like, well, you knew it was fair game after that, right? He goes, oh yeah, I knew. So that's how it went down. And I was like, all right, well, as long as we're good, like you understood that was how it was going to be. And he was like, no, it's totally on me for initiating it, for starting it. So, you know, it was all good. And so I do appreciate him coming over and saying something about it and being receptive to what all went down.
And I think that shows the respect that these two have for one another. Because, look, Kyle Busch is a racer. He's a very competitive guy. He hasn't always handled things correctly. And I mentioned earlier about how he would have handled it if he were on the other side. This is what he said about, had he been the one finishing second, would he have felt the same way?
I mean, yeah, that's the way you'd have to look at it. Obviously, it would certainly be a heck of a lot more disappointing for me to lead that many laps, to get run down, to get a race taken away from us by the lap cars. I mean, that's where the blame for me slowing down or the blame for a race being exciting was the lap cars. And, you know, we saw that same situation with Chase and myself at Dover last year. You know, Chase got held up in lap traffic, and I just went to the top and was able to get rolling and ran him down and passed him, and And, you know, there was a lot of blame that passed that week after from a lot of fans and stuff talking about how the lap cars were in the way and whatever. And that's a fact of racing. That's a product of what you got to do. You got to pass those guys sometimes. So, you know, it was would have been a tough one to swallow for sure. I would have been in Chase Elliott's shoes, so that wouldn't have made me very happy, knowing he wasn't very happy either. But we don't have to, thankfully, we don't have to go through that scenario. So we now go to Daytona and look for another one.
I don't know if it would have been as easy as that, because we've seen Kyle Busch after finishing second after a hard race like that. He doesn't want to talk to anybody. He's ticked off. And look, I respect that passion. I always have. It makes it very easy not to like the guy, but I still respect the passion that he has. So that's where I think people get a little irritated with Busch that, okay, well, yeah, you want to dish it out, but you don't always take it. But the fact of the matter is, I do firmly believe, whether he shows it or not, he has a respect for some of his competitors, the ones that respect him, the ones that he is close to, and he has respect for the sport. That was old school. Everybody talks about Dale Jr. and being in the booth and him being a historian for old school racing. That's why you heard the excitement in his voice yelling "slide job," because that type of racing was old school, and there is a respect amongst the drivers when they race like that. And Kyle Larson said, "Look, I respect Kyle Busch."
I just went down and talked to him and said that was a lot of fun. So I have a lot of respect for Kyle Busch, and he has a lot of respect for me. So yeah, I mean, that, like I said, that was hard racing. I had a lot of fun. I didn't think I was gonna even get the opportunity to race him, you know, side by side for the win like that. You know, I was getting really tight behind him, you know, just from running really hard up top to try and catch those guys. So yeah, I was able to race him like that. Yeah, I mean, I roughed him up, and then he roughed me up, so I can't be mad at him.
And I don't think anyone was mad at anybody. Like I said, just good for NASCAR to have that happen, to allow it. Even when Kyle Larson's going sideways, they didn't throw the caution. They let it play out. It was old school racing, and it was just very, very exciting. And I was so happy to finally see a really good finish like that. It was one of the best finishes I have seen in a long time. And, you know, I think the sport is starting to go back to where it needs to go. I think that the sport is starting to try and put rules packages together that are going to allow for great racing. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about the drafting package that they had in the All-Star race. I think that still need, you know, I want to see them try some things and continue to try and make the sport even better and lean towards the old school of having these competitive races. I mean, you got to get people back to the track. That's first and foremost. That's just what you have to do. Finishes like that, races like that, that's how you're going to get people back to the track. And I just think it's good on NASCAR. It was awesome to see. And I hope that we have that kind of finish and that kind of excitement this weekend at Daytona. So I mentioned Dale Earnhardt Jr. He made his television debut. The guy that replaced him in the 88 car, Alex Bowman, will be my guest a little bit later on in the show. But when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, we will dive into Dale Jr.'s debut and what that means moving forward for NASCAR. And also, a little later on, does NASCAR have a face? I've talked about this before. We'll answer that question. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Yo, Nashville, Buck Rising, Tennessee Titans insider, and the host of your favorite new podcast, Tackling Music City, here. Join us as we talk about all things two-tone blue with current and former players, football experts, and analysts from all walks of life every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on thegamenashville.com, in iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and every weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And here comes Larson. Larson to the bottom of the track.
Slide job.
Trying to take the lead away.
Slide job.
Back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you. Of course, the NBC Sports call, the end of Chicago. Dale Jr. with the slide job, his new catchphrase, as he makes his television debut in the NBC booth. You can find us on Apple iTunes, SoundCloud. All you got to do is search for Chasing Checkers. And, of course, everything is on thegamenashville.com as well. So Dale Jr. makes his debut. He has an exciting race to call because it wasn't just the finish. It was a good race. And then, of course, the finish. He has the catchphrase. And I thought that he did a really good job. This is big for NASCAR. It's big for NBC because from the NASCAR side of things, you had to look at it as, all right, my most popular driver is retiring. He's getting out of the car. So fans may not want to come to the races anymore because they're all Dale Jr. fans and they can't see him, even though he hasn't been as competitive over the last few years because of injury and all of that. So it's kind of like, now what do? We got to build the next face, the next big thing. And it's been a process. You know, they kind of thought that Chase Elliott was going to be that guy because he's Bill Elliott's son. Bill Elliott was the most popular driver before Dale Jr. He's a popular driver in his own right from the Xfinity series and working his way up. They thought that he would probably have a ton of wins by now, and he hadn't won a race. So he has had growing pains. People haven't jumped on board with him. Ryan Blaney, I think, has a following, but you know, he's not one of those flashy guys that's, you know, gonna attract a lot of people and, you know, do a lot of interviews that are gonna really get you going. And Dale Jr. was kind of shy as well, but you know, it helped that he was Little E, that he was Dale Earnhardt's son, that, you know, he was a racer. He was an old school guy. He kind of brought in new school, old school, and was able to get everybody. So NASCAR's been trying to figure out their face. Well, now they have their most popular guy in the TV booth for a company that, you know, signed this multi-million dollar deal to carry these races in NBC. NBC and Fox were probably in a bidding war for the services of Dale Jr. The thing with Fox was they had Darrell Waltrip, who is still very popular even at his age. It's been around for a long time. They also had Jeff Gordon. So they had to go through the process of, okay, if we get Dale Jr., where are we going to put him? He's got to be in the booth. Do we want a four-man booth? How do we want to do that? NBC ultimately wins out. Now, NBC last week had the four-man booth. They had Steve Letarte, who, of course, was Dale Jr.'s crew chief at Hendrick Motorsports. They had Jeff Burton. They had Dale Jr. And they, of course, had Rick Allen calling play-by-play. Now, this week, they're going to have a little bit of a different setup. They're going to put Steve Letarte on pit road, which we'll hear from him about that in a second. But I thought that Dale Jr. picked his spots. You could tell he has listened to direction, and he did a really good job. Listen to this at the end of the broadcast when they're breaking down the final lap before Kyle Busch goes to victory lane. This was his explanation of that final lap.
I think, you know, Larson could have been a whole lot more aggressive right there and ran into, you know, Kyle Busch and made that situation a lot worse. He tried to give him enough room. They did make contact. I don't think it was really that intentional. I mean, Larson doesn't know where Kyle Busch is at. But all this right here is fair game. I mean, if you're going to bang doors, be ready. It's like Kyle Busch said. It's like Kyle Larson said. This is an amazing save right here.
How about the downshift to third gear? Jeff Burton thinking, I might be racing back to the line. He reaches over, grabs third.
He wants to get that second place finish in a row at the mile and a half.
I thought his explanation on that was perfect because it relates to the fans. I mean, they're going to trust Dale Jr. because Dale Jr. was in so many races and won so many and was a guy that they looked at. So they're going to trust him. And I've always thought Jeff Burton did a good job. But Jeff Burton doesn't grab the fan like Dale Earnhardt Jr. will. So I thought he did a really good job of explaining how that race ended, what the driver's thinking, what he knows Kyle Busch, he knows Kyle Larson, kind of what's going through their head. But, you know, another thing that stands out to me, and I think this is something that NASCAR got away from a long time. You listen to Dale Jr. talk. He's got an accent. He's a country boy from North Carolina. Just like his dad, just like the pioneers of the sport. I think that goes a long way. I think Dale Jr. is a very smart guy. He knows his stuff. He has been educated on the sport, educated on business. He's done very well for himself. But he's still going to talk like a race fan. He's still going to talk like an old school driver. And I think that brings people in. So I think that is a huge win for NBC. To grab a guy like Dale Earnhardt Jr., who just got out of the race car, and he's able to jump in there and give explanations that make sense to the fan, but also give respect to the sport. I think that's what's so cool about it. Dale Earnhardt Jr. spoke at Daytona about his first week in doing television.
I get to work with my friends and have fun. We get to talk about racing. Jeff Burton says this all the time, and I agree. I'm watching the races anyways, right? I want to be at the track. I miss coming to the track, so if I could go to every race and hang out and watch them, I would. And so NBC's going to do that, send me to all the tracks, and then they're going to pay me to talk about it. So it's a dream come true, to be honest with you. Hopefully, it just comes down to the fans' opinion of the broadcast, the fans' opinion of the job we do and I do, that whether I get to stick around. So I'm going to try hard to do a great job.
If 1 week is any indication, I think he's going to stick around. And I go back to the end of the race. I go back to
slide job.
This one more time.
Slide job.
The slide job. And all over Twitter, all over social media, they're like, he's got a catchphrase. After 1 week, he's already got a catchphrase. Is it going to stick? Is that going to be Dale Jr.'s catchphrase?
I don't know that that's a catchphrase, because I don't know that you can just work it in any time. And that was just a natural reaction to what I was seeing. That's what my bosses asked me to do, was to say what I was thinking. And especially in a moment like that, when you're excited and you're enjoying, I'm enjoying it and I'm reacting like a fan. I'm reacting as a fan because I am a fan of what I'm watching. And so, yeah, I was really surprised that that took off like it did. I got done with the race, went to the car, drove to the airport, and by the time I got to the airport, everybody was texting me and saying it over and over, and I'm hearing it everywhere all week. And so that's cool. I'm glad that the broadcast was a success, and I'm glad everybody enjoyed, you know, that little tidbit there at the end. And hopefully, you know, we see as much excitement out of every race.
He gives you an explanation there of why he did it. And I think that that's exactly what the fans were looking for. They want that natural reaction. Because, look, Dale Jr. is a fan. He's a fan just like all of us. You know, he's a racer, but he's a fan. He grew up watching the sport. I mean, his father is probably the most famous NASCAR driver there ever was. Outside of Richard Petty, I'd put them probably in the same category. He grew up going to the races and just watching things like this. So I thought it was natural. I didn't think it was forced. And I think it's big for NBC. It's big for NASCAR. And Steve Letarte, his former crew chief, now his broadcast partner, said that it just shows Junior's passion.
When you're around somebody long enough, you kind of know what they're like. And you guys all know, I mean, his passion for racing, I think it showed last week, right? Is you had an expert when you needed an expert, and you had a fan when you wanted a fan. And I think that was a great balance.
And I think that that's going to be what's going to help them win. The fact that he's an expert on the sport, especially like this weekend at Daytona, that's his wheelhouse. But he's also a fan. He's going to let the fandom come out. And I think that's something as broadcasters sometimes we lose sight of. That, you know what? A lot of times these people, like I can speak for myself, I got into this business because I'm a fan. And so, yes, I have to remain objective. I have to give my opinions from both sides. But there are going to be times where the fan comes out, and I think that's good. I think that helps relate to all of you. So Dale Earnhardt Jr. was able to do that, and I thought that was huge for that broadcast. How it's all going to work with, you know, four-man booth and Steve Letarte, actually, I want to play this. Steve Letarte is going to be broadcasting from pit road, which makes a lot of sense. So you can have a lot of interaction between driver and crew chief like you would, you know, driver in the car and then the crew chief on pit road. But he's actually going to be broadcasting from a pit box for NBC, and he explained kind of how that all came together.
Yeah, I mean, I've been down here a bunch. We did it a couple times last year. JTG was very nice to us and let us borrow their pit box. Just kind of as an idea, like, hey, let's change it up. We did it for some Xfinity races. And it just adds, I think, a layer of coverage. So tonight will be good. And then tomorrow night for the big race, without a doubt, it'll be the first cup race we do that way. But I think, A, having Dale join, now there's four of us in the booth, allows me to kind of take a different location, which is great. And here at Daytona, in my mind, having the two drivers together was a perfect combination. And even the restricted plate track, so while strategy isn't really the sexiest way to win a race, we see a lot of track position work even here at Daytona, so we'll be able to talk about it from the pit road.
NBC has the perfect setup with that group. And I was wondering how Jeff Burton was going to work because of the relationship between Steve Letarte and Dale Jr., Rick Allen, of course, calling the laps. But I think having the two drivers, because that's worked for Fox, having Darrell Waltrip and Jeff Gordon together, and then Larry Mack, you know, chimes in with certain things. I think that is going to work out very well for NBC. So Dale Jr. retired. They needed a replacement. His name is Alex Bowman. He's going to join us next on Chasing Checkers. Of course, he's racing this weekend at the Daytona International Speedway. You will hear from him coming up here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and thegamenashville.com.
Stay up to date on the latest news and sports. Take us wherever you may go with the Game Nashville app.
Tap that app.
Just search ESPN The Game Nashville on Google Play or iTunes and download the Game Nashville app now.
Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. Chase McCabe here with you as always, and very excited to be joined by the driver of the number 88 Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet, Alex Bowman. Alex, I'm sure that hasn't gotten old yet.
No, definitely not. It's been an absolute dream come true to be driving for Hendrick Motorsports. Obviously, our year hasn't gone how we would have hoped, but we're continually getting better and making strides in the right direction. So it's been a lot of fun just to get to work with such a great group of people, and hopefully we'll have a good night here Saturday night.
What has the transition been like for you? I mean, clearly it's got to be difficult to replace a guy like Dale Earnhardt Jr. in that car, but you also basically took a year off. You ran an Xfinity race last year, which you won. You've been in the simulator, but I know it has to be difficult to jump back into full-time competition.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was, I almost felt like I took 2 years off. I was still part-time in 16. I filled in for Dale at the end of the year. But I think the most weeks in a row that I was gone was like 4 or 5 weeks. So just getting readapted to the schedule, only being home 2 or 3 days a week and then getting back on the road and racing every week basically from February to November. It's just, that's probably been the hardest part, but it's been good to have such great people surrounding me and helping with that. And the whole team is just great to work with. So they've made it much easier. And like I said, it's just an absolute dream come true to be driving this 88 car and having the support of Nationwide and Exalta. It's been a lot of fun.
How important has Greg Ives been to you as a guy that you worked with when you filled in for Dale Earnhardt Jr., but now he's your full-time crew chief and you guys have developed this bond?
Yeah, Greg's been great to work with. He's such a great guy. He's really quiet. He's pretty much the polar opposite of me. So it's fun to give him a hard time sometimes. And I think having those races together in 2016 helped us start 2018 on the right foot, and has really helped our communication kind of be jump-started and ready to go. So I think that was a big advantage, but Greg is just such a smart guy, and all he wants to do is win. So it's cool to work with somebody that's so motivated and that works so hard, and at the end of the day, they're a great guy as well.
Alex Bowman, driver of the number 88 Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet, on the line with us here on Chasing Checkers. Now, you brought up 2016, a year in which Dale Earnhardt Jr. missed basically the second half of the season with a concussion. You filled in for him, and so did the four-time champion Jeff Gordon. How valuable was it for you in your career to not only have Dale Jr., who was there, but racing with Jeff Gordon and being able to pick his brain as well?
Yeah, that was super valuable, and obviously, Jeff's still a pretty big part of the team, so he's still there and is an open book. So it was just cool. I was a big Jeff Gordon fan as a kid, so getting to work directly with him was a lot of fun. And there's just such a depth of knowledge at HMS and so many great people to be able to lean on. I mean, you have Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, so many smart people from the crew chief side of things. You can lean in on Chad and Alan and Darian. I mean, everybody's won a bunch of races, won a bunch of championships. So it's just cool to be able to lean on that knowledge and try to learn everything you can from it.
And how special was it to have the support of Rick Hendrick, of course, but Dale Earnhardt Jr. backing you to take over this 88 car, have the support of Nationwide and Exalta, of having faith in you, of saying, hey, you know what, there's something in this guy that he's going to help us win?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, without Dale, I wouldn't be in this position. So very thankful for all his help and support. You know, him and I are pretty good friends, and just meant the world to me to get that support from him. But for Nationwide and Exalta to step up the way they did and support me being in the car in 2016, when they obviously could have said, no, we just want Jeff Gordon, you know, that was really special. And to continue that relationship has been really fun. So really enjoying that and working with those guys. It's just such a close group of people, and just really thankful for everybody's support.
I know you were obviously driving the race car last Sunday at Chicagoland, but did you have a chance to go back and at least see the final laps with Dale Jr. on the call? He kind of took over there at the end.
Yeah, I did. I watched the last two laps with Larson and Kyle Busch going at it. So that was pretty cool. It was cool to see such a great race. I think that having Dale in the booth obviously was a big attraction for a lot of people, but to put a great product on the racetrack was great as well. So to see how the call went and how cool it was and how everybody's talking about it all week is really neat. Really happy for Dale that his booth debut was as successful as it was, because obviously he was probably pretty nervous and anxious just like I am before I get behind the wheel. So it was cool to see that go as well as it did.
Talking with Alex Bowman, he'll be racing at Daytona International Speedway this weekend. Of course, the Coke Zero Sugar 400, formerly known as the Firecracker. So you brought up earlier in the interview your season and how you're wanting to get things going and put some good finishes together. You've done that the last 2 weeks, two top tens, a ninth at Sonoma and then 10th at Chicagoland. Do you feel like that all the transition and learning the cars and the Camaro, which is a new body, do you think it's all starting to come together for you now as we enter the summer months?
Yeah, I think we're definitely moving in the right direction. It's just hard to make up a big gap very quickly. So we started the year pretty far off of where we needed to be, and we're continuing to move the right way. It's just you're not going to get big chunks. You know, it's little bits and pieces at a time, and we'll continue to hopefully get little bits every week and continually get better. So have a lot of really smart people working really hard back at the shop and here at the racetrack. So obviously it's good to have that many smart people on your side and working hard. Nobody's kind of getting down or defeated or anything. Everybody's putting their heads down and working hard. So it's good to have that. Obviously we're continuing to go in the right direction. We just still need quite a bit more. So we're still working on it. We're trying to make every single area a little bit better every week. And hopefully every week we see that on the racetrack. So not every week's going to go perfect, but we're definitely gaining on it.
It seems like every driver has either a type of track or a specific track that suits them. I mean, everyone looks at Kevin Harvick and they go, oh, he's really good at Phoenix, or Jeff Gordon's good at Martinsville. Jimmy Johnson's good everywhere. What kind of track suits you, Alex Bowman?
Yeah, that's hard to say. You know, I feel like obviously Phoenix has been a good place for me in the past. We've never really been able to finish a race very well there, but we've run up front, led a lot of laps there, and obviously dominated that cup race a couple years ago there. So that's a place that obviously being so close to home means a lot to me. But Charlotte, we always seem to run pretty decent. Bristol and Martinsville seem to suit me pretty well. So it's kind of all over the place as far as styles of racetrack. So hopefully that's a good thing for me, and it means I'm good at all of them. But it's tough. I feel like half the time, you know, if you get something figured out that works for you with your race car at one of those tracks, it makes you look like you're super good there, but you can come back the next time and your race car not be doing the same thing and really struggle. So hopefully we get our race cars headed in the right direction and we can be really good everywhere.
Racing at Daytona Saturday night, you finished 17th in the Daytona 500, sat on the pole. What do you think you guys at Hendrick Motorsports have for the rest of the field Saturday night?
Yeah, I think our Super Speedway program's been really strong all year, especially the 88 car has been really, really good. Daytona, we ran up front, led laps, were running up front and got caught up in a late crash with a couple laps to go and kind of limped it around to finish 17th. Talladega, we ran pretty decent. I think we finished 8th. You know, the biggest thing is we need to get the Chevrolets working together. We're kind of getting our butts kicked by the other two manufacturers a little bit as far as how they work together throughout the race. So I feel like if we can kind of get our stuff together and work together when we need to and help each other out as a manufacturer, it's going to be better for all involved. So hopefully we can kind of put our heads down and do that this week. Obviously, you never know how a speedway race is going to play out. So many different ways it can go and so many different ways and strategies that can shake out. So just got to try to stay on top of it all and be there at the end is the most important thing. It's really easy to get caught up. I mean, you could crash 5 laps into this thing super easily. So just got to keep the car clean all day and be there at the end.
Alex, best of luck this weekend. I appreciate you taking the time today.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Alex Bowman, driver of the number 88 Nationwide Hendrick Motorsports Exalta Chevrolet in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Still kind of getting used to saying that because we have said the 88 and Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s name for so long, but Alex Bowman has done a fine job taking over and obviously not an easy seat to fill, but he will go out there and try and win this weekend at Daytona. When we come back, we'll get you ready for Daytona and the Coke Zero Sugar 400 from the Daytona International Raceway. It's Chasing Checkers on thegamenashville.com and ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's up, Smashville? This is Ryan Porth here to tell you Preds Insiders will continue this summer on demand as we keep you up to date with all things Preds. Catch the newest edition of the Preds Insiders podcast every Wednesday at thegamenashville.com and throughout the weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. Find us on iTunes. You can find us on SoundCloud as well, each and every Friday afternoon. This available on demand. We'll get to Daytona here in just a few minutes. We'll set that up. You'll hear from some of the drivers racing under the lights Saturday night for the Coke Zero Sugar 400. But I said earlier on in the show, Dale Jr. was the face of the sport. He was the most popular driver. And NASCAR doesn't necessarily have that face now. And there was a report about that part of the attendance problems with NASCAR is that fans don't really know who their driver is. They don't know who to cheer for. They want to go to the races, but you know, it's like if you go to a football game or a hockey game, chances are you're going because you're cheering for one of the teams. If you don't have anybody to cheer for and your favorite driver is now in the TV booth, what do you do? Like, who do you go for? And there wasn't a natural succession plan. I mean, Alex Bowman, I think, is a talented driver, and he's coming up in the next segment. You're going to hear from him. Great guy. But he doesn't have that name that just jumps out and grabs you. At least not yet. Not saying he won't. So that was kind of their issue. You know, Kevin Harvick took over for Dale Earnhardt. So a lot of people became Kevin Harvick fans because he helped them heal. Because he was driving the 3 car, even though it had a 29 on it. I don't think you really got that with Austin Dillon. I don't think there were a ton of people that, even though there really was a 3 on the side of the car, that Austin Dillon was like, oh, all the Earnhardt fans went to him because they either stuck with Harvick or had another driver or they were Dale Jr. fans. It was very different. And that's what's been difficult for NASCAR, is finding kind of these young guns that can be the face. Austin Dillon, ironically, actually was asked about this at Daytona.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be one of those people, obviously, that fans gravitate to, for sure. You know, I've got a lot of people, though, not just fans, that I'm out there trying to win for each and every weekend with a company at RCR and Welcome North Carolina that depend on us to run well. You know, that's the way they eat back at home. But for sure, you know, I want to go win and bring that personality of the sport. I feel like I have a good personality and enjoy having fun and create that. But it all comes with winning too. You know, you got to win a lot and that's what the fans want. But I think you see races like last week, that was a solid race for our sport. And I enjoyed the all-star package, those type of things that we can try and keep doing and can create those names. I truthfully think that, you know, as a sport too, as a whole, we have to look at how we create those superstars that you're wanting to see. If these young guys are coming in that we want them to win, how do we put them in the best position, I guess, you know, and it is what it is. And we'll keep working hard to do that, I think.
I liked how he mentioned all the things that NASCAR has been trying to do to create names, create opportunity. And that's something that I think they lost sight of for a while because, you know, it's natural, but they got spoiled. Like, oh, well, we're good. We got Earnhardt. We got Stewart. We got Gordon. We got Johnson. We got Harvick. We have Busch. We have Busch. I mean, they had all these. We have Danica that wants to come race. They had these names that they didn't think would ever leave. Well, they got older. They started having kids. They got married, all that stuff. And they decided that, you know what? We've done it all. Tony Stewart's like, I'm going to go be an owner. Dale Jr. is like, I'm going to go be a dad and call races. You know, Steve, the same thing that Steve Letarte did. Jeff Gordon, I'm going to go be a dad and call races. So, and Jimmy Johnson's probably not far from that. Kevin Harvick's probably not far from that. They have to figure out what's next, and this generation just hasn't, they haven't taken it yet. And so I wonder, is there pressure on this current generation of drivers to go out there and win and entertain the fans and become the faces of this sport? Here's Kyle Larson's answer.
No. I mean, I'm out there trying to put on a show every week. Feel like I do a good job of putting on a show for the fans. And, you know, I might not, you know, post stupid videos every week or like stuff like that to try and gain fans. But, you know, I try to gain fans on the racetrack. So it's not a big deal for me to try and sell myself and, you know, somebody I'm not. So, yeah, I mean, I don't feel big pressure. I just like to race hard and, you know, try and gain fans that way. I feel like I did a good job last week.
I think he felt pressure at first. And I think once he kind of got rid of that, that's when you saw him start to win races. Because this guy's done it with a team that doesn't have the same resources as the Hendricks and Joe Gibbs and all those others. And he's gone out there and he's won. And he put on a heck of a show last week. So it'll be interesting to see where this new generation of driver goes and what the future looks like. But I think NASCAR has gotten a win with how they had how the finish they had last week, Dale Jr. joining NBC, and then hopefully some of these younger drivers stepping up and entertaining the fans. And who knows, maybe one of those younger drivers will find themselves in victory lane at the Daytona International Speedway for the Coke Zero Sugar 400, which is, of course, coming up. I love Daytona. I love it when they go back to Daytona under the lights. There is something about it. I've been to this race now twice. I've been to Daytona, I think, a total of four times. But I've been to this race twice. And there is something about it. The first time I went was 2005, and it rained all freaking weekend. I mean, the Busch race, and it was still the Busch series, the night before. They got that one in relatively quickly, but it had been raining all day. And then the Cup race, it rained all day. They didn't start the thing until like 11 o'clock Eastern time. But my uncle and I were there. I just turned 18, and we were like, hey, we're staying. We are going to see this thing out. And it was Tony Stewart's first win at Daytona when he climbed the fence. And where our seats were, we were just past the start-finish line. So I still have this picture of Tony Stewart climbing up the fence to the flag stand. And just, you know, the experience and just how cool that was to see. And, you know, that was my first trip to Daytona. I've been hooked, of course, going to that track ever since. But what's funny to me is you look at the Daytona 500. Austin Dillon wins that race. The three car returns to victory lane. And that is the only win that Chevrolet has this season. And I know that it's been difficult for a lot of Chevy fans, for Chevrolet themselves, the drivers, to kind of figure out what's going on with the new Camaro and why they haven't been able to win these races. Austin Dillon, the winner of the Daytona 500, commented on Chevrolet.
Yeah, very surprised. You know, there was a lot going into this season. A lot of people were pumped up about the Chevy Camaro, and we haven't delivered the wins that we thought our camp would this year as far as that goes. And you know, we're working hard, though, as a group to get closer. You know, Larson had a great shot at Chicago. That's positive, and hopefully we can figure out how to get the speed that his Camaro has shown all year.
And Chevy has always had speed. They've always been successful at Daytona. So it wouldn't shock me if they get their second win of the season, you know, at Daytona on Saturday night. But it also wouldn't shock me if it's another Ford, if it's somebody like a Ricky Stenhouse Jr., the defending race winner, who, of course, wants to go in there and win another plate race.
We felt really good about our car here in the 500. They've made, you know, a few changes to the package, but I still feel like our fifth, third Ford will be strong enough to, you know, do what we need to do and hopefully, you know, get it back into victory lane here and defend this race win in July. So it's a great opportunity for us. We're still kind of battling there points-wise for 16th, and that's something that we've been focused on and kind of slipped the last couple weeks, even though we've had probably our better runs at the two tracks that we've struggled at. But a win would go a long ways.
And Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is a guy I think you have to bet on every time you go to a plate track. He has proven that he can win at Daytona and Talladega. I think that Roush Fenway has their problems, but I don't think Ricky Stenhouse Jr. has necessarily been the problem. There's a reason they brought Matt Kenseth back to try and fix some things. Stenhouse, to me, is a guy that I think if you put him in some of the top-notch equipment, he's probably going to win a lot more than he has. He's a talented driver. So it wouldn't be surprising to see him back in the mix as they get ready, you know, as they race this weekend at Daytona. So what can we expect? I think at Daytona you always expect the unexpected. And NASCAR on NBC analyst Dale Earnhardt Jr. wants to see some aggression.
I hope it's really aggressive, you know, and either way, I think we're going to have, and I'm excited about it. I think it's going to, I'm looking forward to this race because I think it's going to be a great race to watch, and there's a lot of storylines right now leading up to the playoffs, so there's plenty to be paying attention to and to be drawn to. There's a lot of attraction, you know, to the about the race itself.
Well, I think he knows how to get around that place, so I'm sure he will have a lot to add to the broadcast. Not going to pick a winner, because you can't. You can't pick a winner at Daytona. I think we would all get it wrong. But exciting racing coming up tomorrow on NBC. You know, I had more stuff written out of what I wanted to talk about, and I'm just out of time. I will mention Toyota announced that they're going to race the Supra. They're bringing the Supra back in the Xfinity Series. The Camry will remain in the Cup Series, but the Supra will be, you know, kind of fits the theme of the pony cars and everything in the Xfinity series. So pretty cool that they made that announcement that the Supra is returning and is going to be a part of NASCAR. My thanks to Alex Bowman. My thanks to all of you for listening again. Subscribe, rate it, iTunes. You can find us on SoundCloud. Follow me on that at Chase on Game on Twitter and thegamenashville.com. We have a new episode every week. It is Chasing Checkers. I'm Chase McCabe. Enjoy the race weekend, everybody.